The study this month has been on the faithfulness of God. Say it with me. God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Say it again. God is faithful.
God is faithful.
All right. That God is faithful means that God is always true and He never lies. Hebrews 6, verse 18. That God is faithful means that God is good and that all good things come from God, according to James 1, 17. That God is faithful means this, according to Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Talking about the faithfulness of God. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands. It means that God is faithful, that His love is abounding. His mercies are everlasting. You know, God is not the God of three strikes and you're out. Friends, God does not give up on us. He loves us all the time. He's like the father of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Let me kind of summarize that parable where this son asked his dad, he said, "Dad, give me my inheritance before you die." It was like he was saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." And the father gave him the inheritance. He squandered the wealth and he ended up eating with the pigs. Now this prodigal son changed his mind. He said, "My dad's servants have food to eat. I'm going back to my dad's house. I am repenting before my dad." And so he repented before his dad. And when he came to his dad received him with open arms. That father did not give up on the prodigal son. He loved him through and through. And that father is like Father God. He does not give up on us. You know, a person can receive Jesus Christ at the point of death, at the deathbed. And at that point, that person will go to heaven when they die. God never gives up on a person. He never gives up on us. He loves us so very much. Even if that person rejected God all of his life and says at the very end, "God, I'm sorry, I repent, I accept your son Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord here on my deathbed." Guess what? When that person dies, he is going to heaven because God never gives up on us. That's good news, isn't it? I was talking to my mom this morning. I was doing some work at my office and she called me up and she said, "Jonathan, I've got something to tell you. Don't get afraid, but your sister and your brother were in a really bad accident yesterday." And she said, "I just want to thank God that He protected them. They're both alive. Your sister's okay. Your brother got 52 stitches on his left hand, but they're alive. Praise God." And she kept talking and talking to me, and I kind of in the conversation, I told her that I was preaching tonight. And in the midst of my conversation with her this morning, she said, "You know, Jonathan, God is faithful." I said, "You know what, Mom? That's what I'm preaching on tonight, the faithfulness of God. God is faithful." He's like, "Jonathan, God." She was like, "Jonathan, God is faithful. He protected them, and I just want to give thanks to God." She said, "That's a confirmation about what you're going to speak tonight, that God is faithful." You know, God is faithful to me in so many ways. He's faithful in protecting the ones that He loves. He's faithful in protecting us. Back in 96, I was driving my Nissan pickup truck on a sheet of ice. I was going a little too fast in South Tulsa at 101st in Delaware, and I flipped the truck. I had my seatbelt on. God gave me sense to have my seatbelt on. I flipped the truck, and praise God, I walked out of that flipped truck alive. Why? Because God is faithful in protecting us, the ones who follow Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I've got an email here called "His Eye is on the Sparrow." Received this email just a few days ago. It was a chilly in Manhattan, but warm inside the Starbucks shop on 51st Street and Broadway, just a skip up from Times Square. Early November weather in New York City holds only the slightest hint of the bitter chill of late December and January. But it's not enough to send the masses crowding indoors to vie for available space and warmth. For a musician, it's the most lucrative Starbucks location in the world, I'm told. And consequently, the tips can be substantial if you play your tunes right. Apparently, we were striking all the right chords that night because our basket was almost overflowing. It was a fun, low-pressure gig. I was playing keyboard and singing backup for my friend, who also added rhythm with an arsenal of percussion instruments. We did mostly pop songs from the 40s and 90s, with a few original tunes thrown in. During our emotional rendition of the classic, "If You Don't Know Me By Now," I noticed a lady sitting in one of the lounge chairs across from me. She was swaying to the beat and singing along. After the tune was over, she approached me. I apologized for singing along on that song. Did it bother you, she asked. No, I replied. We love it when the audience joins in. Would you like to sing up front on the next selection? To my delight, she accepted my invitation. You choose, I said. What are you in the mood to sing? Well, do you know any hymns? Hymns? This woman didn't know who she was dealing with. I cut my teeth on hymns. Before I was even born, I was going to church. I gave our guest singer a knowing look. Name one. Oh, I don't know. There are so many good ones. You pick one. Okay, I replied. How about His Eye Is on the Sparrow? My new friend was silent, her eyes averted. Then she fixed her eyes on mine again and said, yeah, let's do that one. She slowly nodded her head, put down her purse, straightened her jacket, and faced the center of the shop. With my two-bar setup, she began to sing. Why should I be discouraged? Why should shadows come? The audience of coffee drinkers was transfixed. Even the gurgling noises of the cappuccino machine ceased as the employees stopped what they were doing to listen. The song rose to its conclusion. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me. When the last note was sung, the applause crescendoed to a deafening roar that would have rivaled a sold-out crowd at Carnegie Hall. Embarrassed, the woman tried to shout over the din, all y'all, go back to your coffee. I didn't come here to do a concert. I just came here to get something to drink, just like you. But the ovation continued. I embraced my new friend. You, my dear, have made my whole year. That was beautiful. Well, it's funny that you picked that particular hymn, she said. Why is that? Well, she hesitated again. That was my daughter's favorite song. Really? I exclaimed. Yes, she said, and then grabbed my hands. By this time, the applause had subsided, and it was business as usual. She was 16. She died of a brain tumor last week. I said the first thing that found its way through my stunned silence, are you going to be okay? She smiled through her tear-filled eyes and squeezed my hands. I'm going to be okay. I've just got to keep trusting the Lord and singing His songs. And everything's going to be just fine. She picked up her bag and gave me her card, and then she was gone. Was it just a coincidence that we happened to be singing in that particular coffee shop on that November night? Coincidence that this wonderful lady just happened to walk into that particular shop? Coincidence that all of those hymns to choose from, I just happened to pick the very hymn that was the favorite of her daughter, who had just died the week before? I refuse to believe it. God has been arranging encounters in human history since the beginning of time, and it's no stretch for me to imagine that He could reach into a coffee shop in Midtown Manhattan and turn an ordinary gig into a revival. It was a great reminder that if we keep trusting Him and singing His songs, everything is going to be okay. This woman lost a 16-year-old daughter, but she was still trusting God. Why? Because she knew that God is faithful. And friends, it doesn't matter what you're going through today, what hardship you're going through today. Maybe you're in depression today. Maybe you're in financial problems today. Maybe you're in a broken relationship today. Maybe you don't have a job. Something has been going wrong with your life. Just know this, that in the midst of your hardship, God is still faithful. You may not have an answer on this side of eternity, but on the other side of eternity, you will understand why things have happened in your life as they have. God is faithful. Say it with me tonight. God is faithful. Even in the midst of my tough circumstance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just keep trusting God, friend. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. Enoch was convinced, was persuaded of the faithfulness of God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch persuaded by the faithfulness of Almighty God. Genesis 5:21 gives a genealogy here from Adam to Noah. All right, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 23. Altogether, Enoch lived 65 years. 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. He had Methuselah at 65 years of age, and he walked with God 300 years, and then he was taken away. That's a long time to walk with God, isn't it? That's awesome. He was committed to God, wasn't he? He was persuaded and convinced of the faithfulness of God because he walked with God 300 years until he was translated. And so what does this phraseology mean, that he walked with God? What does it mean that Enoch walked with God? It means several different things. It means that he had relationship with God. He had fellowship with God. It might have been like Adam and Eve with God in the garden. It says that God walked about the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis 3:8. God fellowshipped with Adam and Eve. And in the same way, Enoch fellowshipped with God. He was so close to God. What else does it mean that Enoch walked with God? First, he had fellowship with God. Second, it means that he talked with God in prayer, just as a man would talk to his best friend. How many here have a best friend? A really good friend. You like to talk to that friend. Well, Enoch talked with God. He communicated with God. What else does it mean that Enoch walked with God? What else does it mean that Enoch walked with God? It means that he was fully committed to God's will for his life. And finally, what does it mean that Enoch walked with God? I believe that it means that he was a worker of God. He told other people about the God he walked with, saying, you know what? You can walk with the God that I walk with. You can have relationship with the God that I walked with. And you know what? He was so close to God, so committed to God. He talked with God. He was a worker of God, that the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And you know what? God wants you to walk with him like Enoch did. You see, because Enoch lived no ordinary life, he died no ordinary death. He was taken away without physical death. He was in this world at one moment, and at the next moment, he was gone. He was with God in heaven. And friend, I'm here to say it again. God wants you to walk with him by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The writer of Hebrews gives us a better explanation of Enoch's walk with God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. He clarifies even more so Enoch's walk with God. Hebrews 11, verse 5. And I've taught on Hebrews 11:6 so many times, but in the scripture right before it, verse 5, it talks about Enoch. So in context, it's talking about Enoch's walk with God in Hebrews 11, verses 5 through 6. And this is what it says. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. He was commended as one who pleased God. And in the following verse, verse 6, he tells us what it means to please God. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if Enoch was one who was commended as one who pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, what does this go to say about Enoch's walk with God? He had deep faith in God. He had strong faith in God. And he goes on to describe this faith in the last part of verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek Him. Enoch had deep faith in God. That's what it meant when the writer said that he walked with God. He had deep faith in God. He believed that God existed. He had no doubts in the existence of God. He just knew that he knew that he knew that God existed. Hands down, no doubt about it. And it's the same with us, friends. We've got to know on the inside that God exists. Number two, Enoch diligently sought God. He earnestly sought God. Relationship with God. So what is our responsibility thousands of years later following the model, the example of Enoch? What do we have to do as believers in Jesus Christ thousands of years later?
Teach the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just like Enoch, we have to have deep faith in God, knowing that God is always faithful. Like Enoch, we've got to believe that God exists. Don't let anyone or anything or any media or any literature make you doubt the existence of God. There is a God out there, friend, and He loves you so very much. There is a God who exists, and never doubt it. He cares about the big details of your life as well as the small details that concern you. If you ever doubt the existence of God, look at the beauty of nature. Look at the big blue sky, the beautiful trees, the flowers, the shrubs. Look at the complexity of the human body. When you look at creation, when you look at humanity, you've got to know that behind creation there is a creator. You see, nature outside, the human body is the effect. And behind the effect, there is a cause, and His name is God, Yahweh, the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen?
Amen.
Never doubt His existence. And like Enoch, you've got to diligently seek God. You cannot give up your faith in God. You might be saying today, man, I've been believing God a week for this miracle. I've been believing God 2 weeks, Jonathan. To get out of this depression, to overcome this addiction, to get this better job, to reconcile this relationship, to get into this educational path, whatever it might be in your life. You're like, man, I've been believing God for 2 weeks for this miracle in my life. Jonathan, I've been waiting for God a month, 2 months. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, like Enoch, you've got to diligently seek God and not give up faith in God. Amen? How old was Abraham in the Old Testament when God promised that He'd make him into a great nation? How old was Abraham? He was 75 years old, Genesis chapter 12. And how old was Abraham when he had the promised son through whom the great nation would come? He was 100, Genesis chapter 21. So if you take 100 minus 25, how many years in faith did Abraham believe God for the miracle son? He believed God for 25 years, diligently seeking God, diligently, consistently having faith that God would do what He promised Abraham that He would do in his life. Amen? And Abraham was a man just like you and me, and God is no respecter of persons. If Abraham could wait and wait and wait for 25 years, then guess what? We can wait on God as well. Amen?
Amen.
Never give up faith in God. When the going gets tough, the tough in God, by faith in God, gets going. Amen?
Amen?
When the going gets tough in your life, the tough in God, by faith in God, get going. God has got something wonderful, friend, in your life. But you have got to diligently seek God like Enoch did. You've got to be persuaded of the faithfulness of God. That God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Amen.
That God holds this world in the palm of His hands faithfully. This world rotates how often? Once every 24 hours, 7 days a week. The morning comes, and then the night. And then again, the morning comes, and then the night. Consistently. Why? Because a faithful God faithfully holds this world in the palm of his hands. Amen?
Amen.
And he wants to show himself faithful, friend, in your life. In your life. You know, we need to walk with God. How can we walk with God today? Like Enoch walked with God. In the new covenant.
Pray.
Believe him.
That's it. He said it. He said, faith in Jesus. You've got to have faith in Jesus Christ. If you have not yet done so, you've got to say, Jesus Christ, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. Guess what, friends? One day Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. He is coming back to this earth a second time, and he is going to take away his church. He is going to rapture the church. Will you be one of the ones that is taken away like Enoch was taken up? When Jesus splits the eastern sky, he appears in the clouds to take away the church. Will you be one of the ones that is taken away like Enoch was taken away, like Enoch was taken up? Will you be one of the ones? What is it going to require to be taken up when Jesus appears a second time? It's going to require walking with God. And how do you walk with God? You walk with God by faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, saying, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that the second return of Jesus Christ is nearer than we expect. Friends, it is very, very close. Are you ready? He is going to come, the Bible says in Matthew 24, like a thief in the night. Unexpectedly, are you ready for his return? Like Enoch, will you be taken away to meet Jesus in the air? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? What is a true follower of Jesus Christ? A true follower of Jesus Christ is one who walks a holy life like Enoch did. He walked a holy life because he walked with God. Do you walk righteously before God? Thinking pure thoughts, speaking pure words, doing what's pure with your body and with your spirit. You got to be on guard, friends, because he's going to appear unexpectedly. And when he does, will you be ready to meet him in the air, to be taken up, to be translated, taken away like Enoch was? Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. I am going to walk with God because I am persuaded that God is so faithful. He is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Kevin, real quick, is going to come up and talk about how, about God's faithfulness in his life. Kevin Conwell.
Hallelujah. You know, in Mark 11, if you look at Mark 11, 22, it says, God-like faith. Now, if you were to open your Bible, you would see that. And you know what? A God-like faith. What does that mean? To have God-like faith. Did you know faith or faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit? And sometimes we struggle with those issues. Do I have faith? Faith is what you believe, right? So here's the question. If we have the fruit of the Spirit, then the evidence of faith working in our life should be there, right? The fruit of the Spirit is free. Now, Jonathan's asked me to share with you something's happened in my life where I had to use my faith. Well, you know what? On my way from New Mexico back to Oklahoma, I had 3 flat tires. Okay? And each time I'd had a flat tire, someone would come along and help me. We'd get together as a family and we'd pray. Because I only had one spare. So that means that each person that came had to buy me at least 3 tires. That's a lot of money, don't you think? And God wanted me off that highway. Highways are dangerous, especially when you have little kids, right? And the last tire that went flat, I was in Shamrock, Texas. And the mayor happened to be driving around. I had a flat tire there it was in the middle of nowhere. He stops. He says, I'm going to buy you a tire. So he buys me a tire. I'm just a stranger, man. I mean, my vehicle looks like the Grape of Wrath. Grape of Wrath. I mean, if you, I don't know if you understand what that means. Okay. So the trailer was tore up, had a big old tarp on it. I mean, I looked terrible. All right. But he bought me that tire. At every step of the way, we thanked God and used our faith to provide. And by the time I rolled into the next city, I had $35 left. Enough money to buy my wife her Mother's Day present, which was a pizza. But that night, I slept in a house. That week, I received a job. Then 2 weeks, my kids were in school. And within a month, I was back on the road ministering. We had to use our faith. We were using our faith, the fruit of the Spirit, which was given on to us, that fruit of faith. I encourage you to use your faith. Just dare to believe and ask God. He will answer your prayer. Amen. Amen.
That's awesome. And like Kevin was saying, if you have deep faith in God and His miracle working power, then guess what? God will prove Himself faithful on your behalf. Whatever miracle you need in your life, God can do it. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible for those who believe. Say it with me tonight. I want to walk with God. Just like Enoch did. In Jesus' name. Amen.